I am.
Okay, you ready?
Look, the Heilige Mist, and I'll see what we're going to do.
Very light.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. One person does it, and that's it. We're all I'm going.
That does it.
Now even Rebbe is going to pay a lot. I mean, this is absurd. It always starts that way. He also went for one day, ended up moving there. All right, we better have that to have a commissioner then.
Just then, I became mixed.
Amalver Tavero. Loy Mashkenenu Ella the Beijing. Somebody who lends someone money, and at the time that he made the loan, he didn't take a mashkin. I mean, you're welcome to make a loan based on any mashkin that the guy will give you. Here we're talking about a case where somebody goes ahead and he makes the loan. It comes the time for payment, the guy doesn't have money. He cannot walk over and take a mashkin from the guy and say, well, I'm keeping this until you pay. He can only go to court, and lo yikanes lebeitol l'tol mashkano. And he cannot walk into the guy's house. I will see in the Gemara the question, does this mean that the court cannot enter his house? In other words, there's no such thing as a court order to go into somebody's house. Lo yikanes lebeitol. Third world country. No, it's a machloket. Lo yikanes lebeitol l'tol mashkano. Shenemar b'chutz ta'amor. You must stand outside. Ayulo shnei kelim, notel echad u'meniach echad. If a man has two kelim that he together equals both of them, when he needs one, then he has to return the other. And the truth is that the reference over here is as it appears in the pasuk. That if you take something which was used by the person that had borrowed money from you during the daytime, and he needs it during the daytime, let's say it's a coat that he walks out with, and you have to return it to him during the time that he needs it. If it's something that he needs at night, such as a pillow, then you have to return it to him at night and take it back in the daytime. So if you have two things that together are worth the loan, one of them is usable in the day and one of them is usable in the night, you will constantly be switching back and forth between one and the other. What then is the value of taking the mashkan? Remember, we are not talking about collection. Collection is a completely different issue. For collection, there's no question that there's such a thing as a court order to take what he has and it can be sold. We're talking about a mashkan. The value of taking a mashkan is a number of things. First of all, it means that the court has already determined that the money is owed you. Secondly, as we'll see at the end of 30 days, there are mashkins that can be sold, perhaps any mashkin, that's a machloker. Fourthly, if the man dies, then you have the mashkin, which doesn't have to be returned to his heirs, whereas otherwise there would be a problem, because if his heirs don't have property, you'd be in big trouble, and even if they do have property, it's a whole court battle. Whereas like this, everything is clear. Now, I just want to go over with you some of the issues that the Torah talks about here, because we're going to be darshaning them. We already dealt with the psukim of Lo Ta'ashok Safira Niva Evyon. And it appears that our parish is dealing with the questions that are brought here together. So Lo Ta'ashok is the Inki Teitse. That's what we've been discussing until now. The Yomoti Teit Tzkaro, Lo Tavoa La Hashemesh. This is in terms of a sakhir. However, there's completely a different parasha, which is the question of someone who borrows money. So here the Torah tells us also that there are a number of isurim that we have to be careful about. So it says like this, ki esasheh bereacha mashat bu'uma. If you have a debt of some kind against your friend, lo tavo el beito l'avot avoto. You must not go into his house to take a mashkan from him. Bachutz tamur. You stand outside, ha'ish. Please listen carefully, because Darsh is not clear who this is. Ha'ish and the person, which for practice we read together with the continuation, ha'ish asher atan oshevo. The person that owes you money, yotzi elecha et ha'avot avoto, he can bring you a mashkan outside the door. You can't walk into his house. Can? Okay? You cannot. That we'll see what we're talking about over here. Now, if he cannot afford what he's giving as a master, don't go to sleep in his pajamas. Give it back to him when it's time for the evening. And he will then put on his pajamas and bless you. So here it's one parsha. Following that, we have Lotah Ashok Safir Nivevion, which we darshan. And then we go back to Lotah Chapo Beged Almana, which is strange, because here it seems to be saying you mustn't take the Beged of an Almana, but you could take other people's Begadim, you see. Because we're going to have to darshan that also. All right, so these are some of the important stuff that the Mishnah now has talked about, the Chutz Ta'amud. Again, we don't know exactly who this is referring to. You or Shlach Bezdin? So, Machzir etakar balayla, etamachare shabayom. You give back a pillow in the nighttime for him to sleep in, and you give back his plow in the daytime for him to use. By the way, Tosis learns that machare shabayom referred to a comb. Because later on, the Gemara is going to suggest that a macharesha can be made out of silver, which of course doesn't make sense for a plow. The inmate, if the man dies while you have his mashkon, eno mavzir liyoshav, it is not returned to his heirs. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer af la'atzmo eno mavzir la'atzmoshim yom. Even, forget about his heirs, even to him you wouldn't have to. It's a maximum of 30 days. You take that mashkon, he's got 30 days now to pay you. If he doesn't pay you at the end of those 30 days, you sell it. You go back to the court, and the court, I mean, they can't just sell it on your own, obviously, but mofran the beitin, and the court sells it for you. The shmiach beitin, now, somebody, once you've gone to court, even the shliach beit din that the court then appoints can't go into his house. Because when it says b'chutz ta'amud, it's referring even to the court. The only thing that the shliach beit din can do is menaseh letuchim. He can grab something from him that he has outside the house, but he can't walk into his house to take a mashkon. There's no right for a court. A court can't invade somebody's private home. You understand how many thousands of years ahead of these crazy Ugarians this is? He cannot go to be mashken you, meaning to take something from you without your assurance. We're using the difference of minatech, means to grab something. It's a lotion of minatech, you know, to pluck it off of him, so to speak. Says the Gemara, what? Mashkuni lo, you can't take a mashken. The mixer began with the words. You can only get a mashkin from him in Beit Din. But I mean, it's pretty clear that in Beit Din you can be mashkin. I mean, technically speaking, the word mashkin means, in fact, to go into his house and take something from him. Omar le Shmuel. The meaning over there to Shmuel is mashkinim is a mashkin. He said, lo yinatchenu ala Beit Din. You can't grab anything from him as a mashkin is what it means. Even that can only be done in court. And you know what? Don't think that Shmuel is pushing you off. How can I mean, it's very reasonable to learn that Mishnah like Shmuel. Because otherwise, how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah continues on. Tikkuni Sefer, lo yikanes beito lito mashkonah. Don't go into the house to take a mashkon. Who shouldn't go into the house? The Baal Chov shouldn't go into his house. The Baal Chov isn't allowed to do anything. What do you mean to go into his house? The Baal Chov can't do a darn thing. It said in the beginning of the Mishnah, you can only go to Bezdin. So why wouldn't you be addressing the Baal Chov? El Alav Shliach Bezdin. It's got to be talking about the Shliach Bezdin, and it's saying, even after there's a Beit Din, lo yikanes lebeito, the Shliach Bezdin cannot walk into his house. That works out beautifully, according to Shmuel, which kids we should understand. That the meaning of lo yimashkenenu ela bebeitin actually means lo yinatchenu ela bebeitin. Then the Gemara, well, I mean, it's certainly possible, but it's not a raya that that's what it means. Yishuma lo ayria. That really doesn't prove anything. Because the truth is, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. Talfi kamar, some have a girsa chisur in the chasim. Hamalvet chavero lo yimashkenenu ela bebeitin. Which means Mikhlal the Beitin and Mashkinim. That Bezdin itself can be Mashkinim. Whereas a Baal Chov, But the Mishnah wants to say over here is the Baal Kol can't even take anything from him at all, even what he's got outside. Why? The Rabbanan made a gezerah. The Torah only offered you as an individual from invading another guy's house. You can't go to another guy's house. But so you'd say, okay, fine, but at least I can tell him, listen, buddy, if you're not going to pay me, I'm taking this from you, and you grab it from him if he's outside. However, the Rabbanan made a takana, you can't even grab something from him. Because if we let you take the law into your own hand, you may end up going into his house, which would be horrific. And so Mamela, there's a gezerah, that's the meaning. In other words, the lo yikanes l'beito means in order, the lo yikanes l'beito, in order that you shouldn't be nikshal. Are you dreaming already of that? In order that you shouldn't be nikshal in the nikshal l'beito. That's how to understand it possibly. I mean, it makes perfectly good sense the way Shmuel was learning it. It refers to different people. The first one is referring to you, the second one is referring to the court order. But it's not 100% aligned because we could learn it that they're both referring to you, and the second one is an explanation. Why did the Rabbanan go so far as to say you can't even grab something from him? What's the answer in that? After all, he owes you money. And then that it says, in order that you shouldn't go into the Tov because there's a Chutz Tavot.
If you would do this, would you be in
Albert? No, but he would be over in this interview, right?
Oh, going into the house?
Yeah.
It would be a thief.
No. Moshe Rav Yosef. Lo yachbol rechayim barachet. Rav Yosef points out that something's very strange about this whole parsha. Because, again, the Torah has split up. I mean, it's very strange. The Torah splits up these dinim of taking mashkonos. And it's almost all in Kitesin. But look how it's split up. There's one parsha that talks about Shana Rishona, that the guy shouldn't go to the army the first year. And the parsha of Shana Rishona ends with the word Lo yach boreth ayin borecha ki nefesh u'chodeh. You're not allowed to take kalim that are used for the manufacture of food as a mashkan. But then we go into the Hishomer b'nega tzaraas. Then we go back. The main pasukim that I read you before. The one about Kitashev Re'acha, you know, about Chutzamo, what we're darshaning now. Then we go to Lota Ashok Tafyon Ivevyon, which we've already darshaned. And then we go to Loyum to Avot Abanim. You can't have witnesses that are family members. Then we go back to Velotach Bol Evet Beged Almana. There are many different issues we've had. We've darshaned so far in the Mishnah, the Bachutz Ta'amon. Now we want to take a look at, but what about the Loyach Bol Rechayim Barakah? What does that mean? Don't take Rechayim Barakah, but something else you can take. And when it says afterwards, Lo Tachbol Beged Almana, but for somebody else who's not an Almana, you can take, yeah? So we have to understand what those Sukkah mean now in the relation to our Mishnah. Therefore, the Gemara says, what exactly is the meaning over here? It says, Rav Yosef, Lo Yavor Echayim Barakah. Doesn't that mean Hadvorim Achrim Chavol? Chavol means the koach. Not that you can't grab it from him in the street. It means Lo Yavor to walk into his house. Okay, but anything else you could take. Lo Tachbol Beged Almana. Hashalach Erim Tachbol, you could. If it's not an Almana, you're allowed to take it. In the Lashon of Chavilah, Lo Tachbol is Mashma Mashkon. I mean, where's the Echayim Barakah? Echayim Barakah, he's not carrying around with him in the street. It weighs a ton. It's his house. That's his chotzer. Same thing. So what are you going to do about this? So now, who are we talking about? Ma. When you say, don't take it, but you could take the others. Who could take the others? You name a Baal Kol. What, the guy who has the ownership of the debt? The one who lent him the money? It can't mean him. It says, you can't go into his house, take anything from him. So it's got to be referring to the Shliach Bezdin. So Shmuel, don't give me this stuff. It's clear from the Torah that the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to go into his house. In other words, if you have a court order, then it's okay. It's only the person who lent the money that cannot go into his house. But the Shliach Bezdin certainly can, and therefore Shmuel's got the Mishnah wrong. Tir Gemara Rav Papa, Greater and Nachman, Greater of Yosef. Now, Rav Papa, Greater of Nachman, explained it in front of Rav Yosef. Well, this is a little confusing because Rav Yosef also had a son, Rav Papa. So it might have been Rav Papa, Greater Rav Yosef, said it in front of Rav Yosef. No, you see, Shmuel can explain that really it is talking about a Baal Chov. And maybe the Torah adds special lavim. There's never going to anybody's house. If you go into an almoner's house, you take something. It's a double ister. You take something that somebody needs in order to live with. It's a double ister. If it's an almoner, it's a triple ister. So maybe it's all talking about the same issue. The men in black are here. I didn't do it. Toshma. Yimashma shenemar b'chutz tamot. Says the bright light. If it says in the Torah, stand outside. So any of that, what does that spell it out for? Stand outside, and the guy who owes you the money will bring it out of his house. And what did I think? If I stand outside, I should maybe wave my hand, abracadabra, and he'll come walking out of the house. Obviously the guy's going to bring it out of his house. And lamatam alamar v'ha'ish, what does it have to tell me this? That ish is not referring to the guy who owes you the money. That ish means the shliach bezdim. That's the pshat. So b'chutz tamod, you v'ha'ish, and the guy that's with you with the court order. That's the rabbi shliach bezdim. So that means my lav shliach bezdim kalover. How do you understand that? That means that the shliach bezdim over here is going to have the same din as the loaf there. Now, right now, we're going to see, we have two ways of learning it. So what we assume now is the shot. B'chutz tamod, and the two people that are with you, which is the ish and the loaf, can go into the house to get it from you, which would be not like Shmuel. And of course, the other way of learning it is, you stand out there together with that ish, and only he's going to be able to go into you, right? So first we say, my lav, shmiach bezin kalova. Doesn't that mean that the shmiach bezin can go into the house the same way the lova goes into the house, which is telling us, not like Shmuel, but rather that ha'ish, the shmiach bezin, has exactly the same din of ba'asherat anoshevo, the same din as the guy who owes you money. Isn't that the opposite of Shmuel? And Shmuel will say, no, on the contrary. B'chutz tamod ve'ha'ish. You and the man, the shliach bezin, should stand outside, which tells me that shliach bezin is kimalveh. So only the loveh has a right to go in, not you, and not even the court order. So far, no raya for or against Shmuel. Tashma, how about this bright? In chavol tachbol salmat reyacha. Now, who exactly is this talking about? In chavol tachbol salmat reyacha. Says the Brisa, this has got to be talking about a Shliach Bezdin. Because, wait a minute, I told him that a Shliach Bezdin, I got to be that very little talk. How do you know that means? Maybe it means in Kravota, for Samatriaka, refers to the guy himself. No! Because it says in Kitete, Lo Tobo, Betola, Vota, Voto. You're not allowed to go and take anything from him. So clearly it says over here the Baal Chov cannot be the guy that's going to take a mashkin. So what is the Torah referring to? It's got to be referring to a shliach bezdin hakatuv medaber. Now that's it. I mean, Shmuel is blown out of the water with this, right? It says, but there's a shliach bezdin go into the house and be for the other guy. Well, you're right. But it happens to be a machlokas tanoim. There's also a Tana that says beferush. We haven't found it yet, but there's a Tana that says beferush like Shmuel also, and that even the court order won't allow the shliach bezin to go into the house. Tanoim. The Tanya shliach bezin shabala mashkano. Here says beferush like Shmuel. A shliach bezin is coming to take a mashkan. Lo yikaneis lebetel mashkano. The shliach bezin with the court order cannot walk into the guy's house. Lo meitachut. So clearly this brisa is learning the pasuk the way we said that Shmuel would have learned that pasuk. The Tanya Edach, now the other Mandi Amar was the author of the brisa that we just had, that Baal Chov Shabbal Mashkano, Lo Yikanesh Lebeito Mashkano, Livelchut, Vahala Dechus Motzilo Mashkano, Shenemar Bechut Tamot. Shliach Bezdin Shabbala Mashkano Arezenich Masra Beitel Mashkano. So that's referring to the Shliach Bezdin. V'lo Yemashkinenu Dvarim Shosim Bem Ochel Nefesh. You cannot take from him something that is used for making food on some level, and that comes, we'll see, that's the Rechayim Barachem that we're going to be darshaning, which is any kalim that are used for Ochol Nefesh. Now, the notain, the person who's collecting chavis, I hope that you'll make it back for coming a lot by noon. Now, you give the guy, before taking his money from him, when you're going to come and you're going to collect from him, actually it's a machlokas, whether it's referring mamish to collection, whether it's permanent collection of debt, we'll see later on, it's clear from the Gemara that we deal with that issue, or whether we're talking about over here being the mashkein, in which case there may be a different issue of how we do sidur. Now, sidur is used as a technical term the same way it is today with the chos and the kala, you know, nesader, we'll take care of you, we'll fix you up, we'll give you enough to live on. That's a sidur. So here too, there's a bankruptcy law, which we learn out from Erechim, in which we do not take from a person those things that are required for him to continue living, to continue making money, and so on. So here is the machlokas, right? Now here is the machlokas. What are we referring to over here? We're referring to, in this case, a special bit of sidur for a mashkin, which has to do dafka with mita, but not the full sidur. Or is this just an example? We're talking about paying up, and it is the full sidur. We'll discuss in the Gemara the full sidur by the end of the Zot. Now we give a bed and another bed together with a nice felt covering of the bed for an ashir who is used to having that type of thing. And for an oni, we'll give one bed plus another bed and a mapat, which is the equivalent of the ashir's nice soft bed covering. The Ani uses a mat as a covering, like a Japanese mat, La Ani. And it's only lo, avalola ishto, avalola banavu vnota. That's only for his own. This is not, we don't give him everything he needs for his wife and children. I just said, it's a machlokas, whether we're talking about sidur of a loan payment or mashkin.
This is what they said that.
No, you, the lender, are stuck, and you have to leave him, is what it means, is giving. Yes. You have to leave him, yes. This you leave him
permanently.
Yeah. His wife and children are not your responsibility. Remember, this is from the finish. I think what I was going to ask at the end of the talk. Why is it my responsibility? And then sin. Because I'm the sucker and lent him money, so now I'm the guy who's going to be supporting him. The problem over here is the guy's a poor man. Yeah? Are there community services for poor people? Yes. Every community has services for poor people. Let him go to the community services. What is he coming to me? He should come out of my pocket. Because the guy was nice. So the sucker always ends up getting putting the bill. That's ridiculous. Right? This is exactly what the Gemara is going to ask at the end. So you're looking at him. What? His wife and children are supposed to sleep on the floor? On the contrary, he's supposed to sleep on the floor. So the question is why we're doing anything for him, not why we're not doing anything for his wife and children. It's not my responsibility to take care of you and your family. Okay, but we'll see. The Gemara's going to learn this out of a book. So now, when we say over here that we give mita, it says over here, I'm on my, notain mita, oh sorry, it's the ship. The same way that we give somebody who is a Baal Kol these things and not we don't collect them, so too if he owes money to the Beit HaMikdash for making a neder of Erechim and he's going to pay somebody's value. Let's say he says Richie's value is to be given to the Beit HaMikdash. So you would think that, okay, Richie is priceless. But the Torah defines certain set values. Right? So it depends on your age and it depends on your sex. And Rishi, that's something that's sort of generic, you know. So the din over there in the Torah, it says to pay Rishi the Kodik, imoku mi'arkecha. If the guy is too poor to pay the Erechim, so this is what you do for him. The truth is, we learn out of Erechim to the Baal Kol, which makes this statement ridiculous. Because here it says that in the same way that we'll fix things up for Baal Kol, we will also fix things up for Erechim. Does the Gemara, what? Klappe, why? Hey, buddy, where are you going? I mean, you just said the opposite of what you should have said. Ikar Sidur Erechim Sidur. The whole basis of Sidur instead of Erechim, not Baal Kol. How would we know Baal Kol if we wouldn't have Erechim? Sorry. Ela'ema. The correct way to say that was Kiderech Shemisadrin V'Arachim Kach Misadrin V'Baal Kol. That's the correct way. The same way the Torah told us to take care of Erechim, so too do we take care of the Baal Kol. Now, Omar Mar, let's go back to what you said. No Tein Mita Mita Matzala Asher. You give one bed plus another bed with a nice felt cover to an Asher, and you give a Mita plus another bed of a Mita and a Mapat, which is a bat to an army. Now, who is this other bet for? Lamar. We Raymond the East told of another of no this is for his wife, for his children. That's what you just said. Harmet Lo. You said it's only for him. Avalo the East told of another of no top. So it can't be for his wife and children. It's got to be talking about both of them are for him. So then I ask you, what do you need two bets for? So Tarzay Lamar. Remember that the meaning in those days was that you didn't sit at a chair and eat, you sat on a couch and ate. Right? So the mita over here is in order to lean while you're eating. So you'll say, so if you have one bed to lean on, eat in the same bed that you're sleeping in. What do you need two beds for? You need two beds. Kiddush Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel called me Yadana Asute. I can actually find you a cure for anything except the three things. The three things that are just beyond my technical ability. Lavar mehaniklat. Man da'orfala hina marira liberikona. Somebody who eats a dried out bitter bait before having any other food. Man da'orfala mitna d'titna retiva aharse. Somebody who takes a rope or a belt that he makes out of raw, damp flax and he leaves it on his thigh, I cannot cure the skin eruptions from that. Umanda also Nahama Valomaske Abargami is somebody who sits and eats a meal and then falls asleep with a trollen in his, forget it, he's gone. There's nothing I can do for him. Which means that if we will only allow this guy to have one bed, the likelihood is he'll eat the chalent and he won't get up to go to sleep in his bedroom on another bed. Now if he does that, he's dead. Because Shmuel says even he can't fix it, right? So in the Mela, in order to avoid chalentitis, we have to give the guy two beds. One to sleep on, and if he's got another bed, so then he's not going to make the mistake of falling asleep at the table on this bed. He'll force himself to go to his other bed.
Now, the first thing
is, he's going to go to the other bed again, and the vice versa, he's better. Now, there was a time was saying over his Mishnayos and Brachos in front of Rav Nachman, so he said over to Derech in the Sadrin Barachin, Kach Mesadrin B'Baal Kol, the same way that we give a chance for somebody who's bankrupt for Erechim, and he doesn't pay rent, take everything from him, so too do we do that for a Baal Kol. Or Malay and Rav Nachman was outraged. He said, how can you say such a crazy thing? If we're going to sell after 30 days even the things that he needs. Now this is a little bit strange, because who was it that said in the Mishnah, you can sell after 30 days? It was only Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, even if you're giving back the matzah to the guy, get out of the heirs, right? You only have to give it back for 30 days. What are we referring to? Something that you have to give back. Meaning something that is his actual need. And nonetheless, what did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say? that you have to, you're allowed to sell it. You only have to give it back within the 30 days. So can you tell me how you could come up with such a ridiculous shot that you're due a sidur for a Baal Chov if it says the fairish in the Mishnah, which is a strange, because it doesn't, because the Tanakhama argues on Reb Shimon Gamliel. But assuming that Reb Shimon Gamliel is correct, so then if it says in the Mishnah that even the guy's bed, which normally I would have had to return to him for his nighttime use, I can sell after 30 days. So what are you telling me I have to be in the Sadr if I'm now selling to get recoup my money? So Ashta, Zaguni Mezavninamay, Siguri Mezavninamay, what's the matter with you? Wait a minute, says the Gemara, what do you mean? Zaguni Mezavninamay, where do you get the idea that we would sell his pillow? It says you have to return that pillow at night. You have to return his comb or his plow in the day. And that's what the Tanakhama said. Why in the world would Reb Nachman have shouted about a sheet that it's only true according to Reb Shimon Gamliel? But what happened is the Tana, who said it over to Reb Nachman, quoted it in the name of Reb Shimon Gamliel, which was a mistake. So Reb Nachman was saying, for heaven's sake, if Reb Shimon Gamliel has to Reb Shimon Gamliel, Zavinim is Amninamleh. Reb Shimon Gamliel is the one who says, after 30 days, you can go out and sell it, never return it to him again. So, Mishpah, you doing this, Amninamleh? Well, we're going to make sure that we leave it for him. It's not, as it says in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af la'atzmon, eno ma'azir ela ad shloshim yom. You can't the Elif Mokran, but they did. After 30 days, you go to court and sell it. Now, hold on. Reb Nachman's come to the conclusion. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who says you could sell it, that necessarily means that you're not misader him? Why? Because you said, if you took something that the man needs, listen carefully, if you took something that the man needs, you have to give it back to him. But only for 30 days. After 30 days, you can sell it. Oh, so apparently, if you walked off of his bed, after 30 days, you can sell his bed, which is mashma that there's no sidur for bankruptcy. Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. Because suppose what you took from him was his bed, indeed, but this guy has a bed to kill all beds. He's got a $4,000 mattress on his bed. He's got a beautiful canopy on his bed. Say, his bed is worth $20,000. Maybe all Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying is, sell his bed, buy him a $40 bed, send him the $40 bed, and that way he'll have what he needs, but meanwhile you will have sold it. So that's certainly a contradiction between saying that after 30 days I can sell the bashkin I took from him, and on the other hand, saying, and of course you have to be misader him that he's able to live properly. He can live properly with a cheap bed too. Why shouldn't I pocket the difference that he owes me? Right? So a guy's living in a mansion, so we should let him stay in the mansion, sell the mansion, and buy him a house. Gentlemen, I am not feeling well enough to fight with you. I need, please, for my health, I need your commitment. So, therefore, says the Gemara, maybe all Reb Shimon ben Gamliel meant, he might have become Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's Vunim Megamri Kamar, who's to say Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said you'd get rid of his bed totally? Dilmavi Kamar, maybe all he says is, Ach Shloshim Yom HaRelegein. Till 30 days, give him back the bed that you took from him. Yeah, his $20,000 bed. Nishan Ve'elach, after 30 days, give him back only enough for what he absolutely needs, some cheap bed. But sell the parts that he doesn't need. Sell the good mattress. Give him a crummy mattress. No. He says, well, you can't possibly say that. Because if all Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying, give him only what he needs, then unfortunately, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would have said that there is nothing that he doesn't need. Because that's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's shita, as we'll see in a moment. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's shita is that you can never tell a Jew, get used to doing with less. Why? Because they're b'nei melachim. So they're b'nei avram yitzchak v'yaakov, to get used to doing with less. Why the heck should I get used to doing with less? I'm used to having a $20,000 bed. I mean, I will be totally destitute, destroyed, financially embarrassed. Yeah. So therefore, we are all princes. That's correct. How do we know that that's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's shita? The Omer Abaye, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rav Shimon, and Rav Yishmael, and Rav Akiva all hold that Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim. Everybody, these four shitas hold that every Jew is a Jew. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tzvan, look. Please don't put the two in one sentence. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Lo et haluf, v'lo et hafarzal." But the Tanakhama says that on Shabbos you cannot move luf and harzal, which in their raw state are not suitable for use, not by humans, not by animals, they're not eaten. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Why not? Luf, after all, is eaten by Orvin, and princes have pet Orvin. You know, so they go around with a little Orvin. It's like really, it's high class stuff. You walk around with an Orvin on your, you know, set the raven. So you, therefore, should be allowed to move these luf on Shabbos. Why not? I mean, what about your pet Orvin? Now, the fact that nobody in the shtetl has had a pet orev for the past 2,000 years doesn't bother him. You should have a pet orev. After all, you're a prince. Orvin Puck. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon, I actually met one once to talk to me. It's a frightening experience. No, they talk back to me. You know, I mean, but he's pet orev. Rabbi Shimon, that's not. B'nei Velachim, the Tanakhama says, he's talking about the issue of putting on medication on Shabbos. Right? So it says in the Mishnah, B'nei Velachim, that if you grew up in a royal family, you're allowed to be sachin, shemen vered agave matotein b'shabbat, shekein darkav, l'tzuch b'chol. You're allowed to take rose oil and rub it on a sore, because anyway you would rub rose oil just for the heck of it. So it's not nikud, it's for a sore. Now obviously nobody else can afford to rub rose oil. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Shimon, what do you mean if you're a prince? Call yourself a name of Lachina. Every Jew is a prince. So therefore there's no, it's, what do you start now discriminating? Just because this prince happens to be temporarily out of cash. So therefore any Jew can use rose oil. And Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva also hold the same idea to Tanya. Areisha, you know, Shimbo Elevzuz, a guy who owes $1,000, and a lavush itzala bat mea mana, and now he's wearing a coat that's worth $10,000. Mashiti lota, well, we take his $10,000 coat off his back, sell it, ubel bishinoto itzala haru yellow, and we give him, says the Tanakhama, a coat which is suitable for someone in his newly descended circumstances.
My money you're going to take away from me?
Oh, as Rabbi Yishmael, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael ruyin lo tais tzalah. That's where the saying comes from. Any Jew should be wearing that Armani coat. You'll notice that there seems to be an inversion of our modern-day vision of Jewish dress, but in any event. So we see over here, therefore, that the halacha, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, cannot possibly be referring to taking away his $20,000 bed and replacing it with a $40 bed, because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that he needs this bed to live on, since he's a ben malach. Ask him, what did you think? Remind us, like I died to me a car. So, okay, fine. Now you've understood that, of course, that can't be what Shimon Gamliel. Let's come for a minute that is what he meant. So then how exactly would it work? Okay, the guy's got a $20,000 pillow, I understand. So Bishlam, the car of a Keset, which was the example that we used, right? He's got a beautiful pillow, he's got a beautiful blanket. Cause you made the baini. Okay, we can give him the difference of the price of an expensive one and a cheap one. But a mahagaisha. Understand, a plow is a plow. I mean, you ever heard of it? I mean, what is he? He's going to be taking a Jaguar plow. I mean, who ever heard of a Jaguar plow? Oh, that's exactly it. Amar Rava Barava Machreshita Kaspa. He's got a silver plow, which is why Tosin says, ah, oh, come on. It's got to be talking about a comb. How did it go? He was born with a silver spoon. Silver spoon. Masikla Rukhaga. Rukhaga asks, the Lamele Lava like Armita. Well, I understand. Why can't he tell the guy, hey, buddy, it's not my responsibility to support you. I lent you money. I'm taking my money back. Now, what's your problem? That you're destitute. So fine, I'll be happy to make a call to the Salvation Army for you. But certainly, you're not going to turn around at me and say, you are the sole responsible party since you're the one who's coming to collect your money. Again, what do you mean? I should be the friar because I was nice enough to lend you money. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Oh, my way, Abaye, says Abaye, unfortunately, Hebra, yes, indeed, you're screwed. And Alei Karami, it is, in fact, his responsibility because the Torah says, Mulechot yet tzedakah. So it was given to you now because you put yourself into it. The Torah now forces you to look at it as an act of charity that is on you more than on anybody else. So therefore, it is no zina that you have.
This is
arrangement
in terms of tzedakah.
Correct. Well, in fact, it's a loan here. It's not a loan. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Gentlemen, have a wonderful Shabbos. Richie, I hope you're not leaving, are you? You're not leaving, are you? You're not leaving.